بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. The program is Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Ata, the host of this program. Sayyid Zain is over here. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid. Welcome to the show.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
We are passing live in the major occultation of Imam al-Mahdi, Ghaybat al-Kubra of Imam al-Mahdi, Ajallallah. May Allah hasten his reappearance. He is alive. So he's present among us. So by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah one day we'll be able to visit his holy face.
Inshallah today.
Inshallah today, maybe soon. But now one of the major questions is that, is establishing a Shia government legitimate during his major occultation or not? Because he has already led the government. He is leading the type of government, okay? It is not the government on the ground, maybe, but it is the hidden government that he has on earth. So is it legitimate to establish a government by the name of Shia and the holy imams? As we know that Imam Mahdi is able to guide us and is able, in fact, to... he is present, in fact, and alive among us, Sayyid.
Right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. If you look at Islam and the teachings of Islam and have an overall glance of it, the separation of religion from politics, it's something that is very alien to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And those Muslim thinkers who try to justify the separation of religion and politics, they really have to, you know, do a mental gymnastics to, you know, justify that. Because if you look at the Quran, if you look at the Hadith, if you look at even history, Islamic history, this separation has not, it's not visible. It's very difficult to bring the separation into Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, many, you know, verses in the Quran that would point towards this. You have, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his own seerah in this regard. As soon as he could, he made Islamic government,
mm-hmm.
right? You see that, you know, afterwards, it was a case that the government was supposed to go to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and then the rest of the a'imma, and you see that was usurped. But still, you know, the khulafa, right, that our Sunni brethren believe in, they were khulafa of the Prophet. They were sitting in the seat of the Prophet, basically. They were, you know, they were those who came after the Prophet, and they were the leaders of the Islamic nation, right? So it was a religious government at that time as well. And then you see many governments like that have come afterwards too, right? The different dynasties and the different, you know, caliphates, you know, the Ottoman caliphate being the last one that's there in the Sunni world, considered a religious government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then this separation is, you know, an idea that's quite alien to Islam, mm-hmm. and it's not, you know, Islam cannot be conformed to it, mm-hmm. to this idea. Right, while at the same time maintaining its true spirit. Right, so if those who try to do this, they end up really, really, really compromising Islam and limiting Islam. So the separation of religion and politics is not something that Islam can have. Now, if that's the case, then we have to see that, okay, how can in our case, in our times, Islam be, or this idea of Islam and politics together be implemented, right? In the time of Ghaiba, what is the way to do this? Now, what we understand would be this, that, okay, the Imam himself, he's not involved in the affairs of the world. It wouldn't be correct to say he's not present. He is present. We don't know who he is. We don't know, you know, his identity. He is present, but he's not involved as the head of state. He's not involved as, you know, somebody whom we can go to in any normal circumstance and get his guidance and have him be the leader. So the question comes up is this, that, okay, if Islam and politics, they cannot be separated, and if Islam wants to, you know, be involved in the lives of, in our lives in all aspects, including politics, well, what's the right way to do it now, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And the answer should be that, okay, you know, if you cannot have somebody like the Imam lead the nation, then you have somebody who resembles him the most, mm-hmm. right? And that's the idea of the wali faqih. That's yes. the idea of having that faqih, that knowledgeable person of religion who has taqwa, who has the ability to lead and rule.
Who has guardianship.
Yes, he should have yes. that wilaya and guardianship.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
And this is the logical kind of argument for this, that if you're supposed to have a government, if you're supposed to have politics in your lives, and you cannot have the government of the imam, then you have the one that resembles it the most, which is which you can actually implement as mm-hmm. well, right? So practically, it should be implementable as well. And this is what Jamhuri Islami has tried to do.
Okay. Could it be, for example, during a kind of kingdom or rulership of a person other than an alim, a scholar, a jurist, or something like that? And then, for example, side by side to that king, this walaya go on? Or no, it must be a kind of practical type of leadership.
I mean, we see examples of that in history, right? So even within Iran, the Safavid dynasty, mm-hmm. they were, you know, a Shia dynasty, you know, kingdom. But they weren't, you know, at least officially led by scholars. There were times when scholars were really powerful mm-hmm. in these governments and these kings, realizing the importance of scholars and scholars leading, they had given them that kind of role. For example, I believe Muhakkike Karaki.
Yes.
He himself, you know, had a very prominent role in the government.
Yes.
Right. And the Safavid king at that time,
yes.
he had, you know, allowed that to happen. But it's not ideal, mm-hmm. right? It's not ideal because...
Sheikh al-Bahai, for example.
Sheikh Bahai as well, yes, afterwards.
Right. Okay.
So you have their involvement in these governments that were, you know, kingdoms, basically. But you had scholars heavily involved. Now, with different kings to different extent, right? Depending upon how much the king was would allow these scholars to be involved. But at the same time, it's not ideal, mm-hmm. right? The ideal would be that the scholar is in charge. One reason is this, which you just mentioned, right? That different kings, they come and then depending upon their own understanding of, you know, religion, their own iman, they give power to the ulama or they take it away from them, mm-hmm. right? So there's this possibility of them taking the power for themselves. And instead of acting in the interest of Islam and the Muslimin, they act in their own self-interest. Or even if they have good intentions, because they don't have that knowledge to back, you know, that Islamic knowledge that they need to be able to rule an Islamic mm-hmm. government, they end up making mistakes and they yes. end up doing, you know, things that they shouldn't do. So the ideal is that it's the faqih, the person who has a very deep understanding of Islam, that he should be the one leading and ruling. But even that is not the ideal. Mm-hmm. The ideal is, inshallah, the imam, he comes
yes,
and he rules.
Inshallah, that's right. So this type of active governance, as you said, for sure, is reserved for the imam himself, okay? So for an infallible imam. But as you said, the scholars and the leaders must focus on preserving the Shia identity, as you said. As we are talking about, for example, the true Muhammadan Islam, which is called, we can say, can be found in the Shia type of leadership. Even nowadays, when you see, for example, during the war of Iran against U.S. and Israel, you could find that type of political activism in the Shia discourse of Islamic Republic of Iran and not, for example, some of the Arab countries
right.
whose bases are under the control of the U.S. and the Zionist regime.
Right. So we see this aspect of kind of taking a stand against, you know, the oppressors and putting ourselves, our lives on the line, more so in with the Shias. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons for that. And the most obvious reason is Karbala and Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes.
That because, you know, that is such a huge part of our identity and it's inseparable from our identity that we are a lot more willing to do this. But it's not the case that the Sunnis, you know, they don't have this aspect of taking a stand against the oppressor, mm-hmm. especially the kuffar and the Zionists, right? The Yahud.
Yes.
That these are Quranic ideas, and that these ideas are there within their, you know, within the our Sunni brethren as well. Unfortunately, what has happened in the Sunni world is the leaders that have, you know, that have been placed over there. Mm-hmm. By these mustakbirin, by these, you know, these powers, the British and then the US and Israel, in the case of UAE specifically, Israel has been deeply involved within the United Arab Emirates. Because of these powers, the leaders who are placed in the Sunni world, they are basically sold to these great powers.
That's right. Right?
To the super, quote unquote, superpowers, right?
Even on the Nikba day, you know, the UAE, one of the ministers, is went there, you know, signed a contract, congratulated them, you know.
Yeah,
so hand in hand with him, what took place in Sudan, for example, okay?
Right.
So UAE and Israel hand in hand. So. Right.
It's quite shameful. Even,
it's,
you know,
really shameful. Yeah, that's right.
If you look at the reporting as well, there are proper, you know, journalists who've done reporting on this, in the connection between some of the high-ranking officials in the UAE mm-hmm. and Epstein.
Epstein,
you know, like
Epstein,
that's ridiculous. Yeah. How can a Muslim be, you know? Anyway, so basically, unfortunately, our Sunni brethren, this is what they face. Okay, and what they must do is look at the teachings of the Quran. Look at the, you know, the true teachings of Islam that have, you know, come to them, right? We're not saying to them, you know, become Shia and, you know, because they blame us for this. Mm-hmm. They say that, oh, you know, this is all your ploy to make all of us Shia and all these things. No, you know, inshallah, that is a different conversation. We should have that conversation mm-hmm. as well. What is the truth? What is right? What happened? That's, you know, in history and all these things, it's a different conversation. What we're saying here is that, you know, come to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what Islam is saying. And try to realize the truth on the side of the truth and support, you know, the truth against these oppressors. Support, you know, if you don't like the Shias, fine, all of that. Support your own Sunni brethren in Gaza,
in
the West Bank, right? So this is, you know, something that us and the Sunnis, we should be working hand in hand. And we should try to, you know, be united on this front. And inshallah, our differences, we should try to sort them mm-hmm. afterwards in a different way, in a proper way.
Right. Okay. Now, one serious question is that, is being engaged with politics dangerous for the faith of some people? It might, for example, give them a kind of distraction from the main root of Islam, because you are now engaged with something other than religious cases or faith or something like that.
That's a very good question. Islam is different in that sense with respect to Christianity, for example,
mm-hmm.
with respect to some of these Eastern religions and what the teachings that they have. The idea in these religions, some of these religions at least, is this, that the religious person is the one who is removed from all these kind of affairs, to the extent that Christians, you know, at least the Catholic priests, they won't even marry, and the nuns, they wouldn't marry. Why? Because that's a lowly, worldly act to them,
mm-hmm.
okay? And same thing with politics as well. If you look at, the church and its kind of non-involvement in politics, in history, in Europe, and all these things, they have this stance that basically, this idea that to be religious, you have to be removed from all these things. Now, Islam is very different in this regard. Islam says you have to get married. Like, it's highly recommended that you get married and be involved in society. You know, so we're not supposed to be secluded. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And be involved in politics as well, right? To the extent that it's your responsibility, okay, to create a society that's a just society.
That's right.
Right. To create a society that's a religious society, an Islamic society,
mm-hmm.
where the values of Islam are lived, where nahi anil munkar is done, where amal bil ma'roof is done, where if there's evil in happening in society, then the believer has to take a stand and stand against that. That's his responsibility. It's wajib upon him,
mm-hmm.
right? So Islam is a religion that says that you cannot remove yourself from all these affairs. Yes, it is difficult. It's difficult to, you know, it's easier to go out in the wilderness and not get angry. Why? Well, there's nothing that is happening to make you angry. You know, your spouse isn't, you know, saying something you don't like. You don't have any children who are, you know, acting out, and you have to be patient, right? It's easy to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? The hard thing to do is to be
active in this field, that's right.
Yes, to be amongst the people, to be involved with them, to be politically involved,
mm-hmm.
And at the same time, uphold the values of Islam. That is hard, but that's why Islamic spirituality, again, it takes you higher than these other religions as well.
Thank you, Master Zain, for a nice elaboration regarding this concept and this question. Is a Shia government legitimate during the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi Jalallah or not? It was very kind of you.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you much, dear listeners, for being with us on IRIB English Radio, the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs, regarding the questions related to the recent imposed war on Iran. It was very kind of you. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن